never thought we'd wind up here like this.
Cancer. A paralyzing diagnosis for anyone. When Bat McGrath was told on December 12th that cancer had moved from his colon and taken over his liver, he walked away from the extensive treatments that might extend his life for maybe another year and a half. He'll live his final few months on his terms. That includes a concert in Rochester, Saturday at the Lyric Theater. We're talking to Bat at his home in Nashville. Bat, why is it important for you to spend some of your valuable time with us?
Well, frankly, that was the first thing that I thought of. Tricia was with me, so of course we were together in this when we talked about what we would do, you know what I mean? We decided that we would celebrate our final time together rather than mourn. And I immediately said, you know, I sure would like to play up there one more time. It's the essence, really, of, and I don't want to say who I am, but it's all I've ever done, and it's, I'd like to do it one more time, at least.
In the late 1960s and early 70s, Bat and Don Powder were the toast of the local music scene. Their popular blues rock band, the Showstoppers, was briefly romanced by the legendary Columbia Records producer John Hammond. Their coffee house on West Ridge Road, Hiley Morris's Alley, was the hot club where Chuck Mangione, Steve Gadd, and Tony Levin would jam until 4 in the morning. McGrath and Potter wrote some of the material and played on Friends in Love, a Chuck Mangione concert, the album that helped launch Mangione's career.
Got my thumb hooked in my pocket. I got my fishing pole in line. I got my zigzags wine in a spot picked out where the fishing's fine.
Both McGrath and Potter are in the Rochester Music Hall of Fame. Bet, you've heard from Don Potter.
Yes. We spoke a couple weeks ago, and it was powerful. You know, I mean, I remember 15 years old. I remember the first song we sang together, sitting outside out back of his uncle's house in an old cemetery, and we had Don had a harmony guitar, and we sang Let It Be Me by the Everly Brothers, and that's when we realized how nicely our voices blended and what a great harmony singer Don was. Mm-hmm. We were inseparable. And so when he called, it wasn't about the afterlife or where I'm going. Don was deeply saddened, and so was I. But as I recall, I spent most of my time consoling him, which only made me feel worse.
Bat released his first solo album, From the Blue Eagle, in 1977.
It's me, I'm at the Blue Eagle. Yeah, that's right, the redneck bar. I was having a few beers, getting high with a shank. Then I got to wondering how you are.
Then he walked away from his music, even using his karate training to work as a bodyguard for the rock band Van Halen. And bodyguard is a subjective job description. Aaron Boy might be closer. One day, Bat was sent by someone with the band to buy drugs, and that didn't work out too well, did it, Bat?
No, it didn't. Like 3 a.m. in a Cajun bar. And, something went wrong. And ironically, the man I bodyguarded was like a 6'6" ex-policeman, but he couldn't fight as well as I could at that particular time. So I ended up taking a swing at this guy, knocking him down a couple stairs backwards, feeling like, oh, this is going good. And by the time I looked, he was already coming back and real angry. And I went, oh, man, this is where I die. But I didn't. Putting him in some kind of lock, and he had me and I had him, and we were on the floor, and I just held on until all the security came and broke it up, and then I got out of there. He would have killed me. He would have murdered me.
You got stabbed.
Yeah. I guess when he
there was that.
When he and I started fighting, everybody, all his friends jumped in. It was his bar, and I got stabbed across the top of the head. Still have the scar there. As we were wrestling and falling down, I got stabbed in the head and kicked from behind when I was on the ground, being kicked in the groin, and it was great fun. I decided maybe being a songwriter wasn't such a bad career after all.
So you went back to music.
Yeah, very shortly.
I heard it on the radio, then finally it sunk in. The Dukes are at the Village Inn, and you're out with your friend. I must admit I choked a bit and I drove a lot too fast. Was wondering, was it hip enough just to come right out past?
So you fell in love, you lost her, you got her back. Trisha Cast, who then was in the midst of a 14-year run acting on The Young and the Restless. Now you, Trisha, and the dogs live on the side of a mountain on the fringe of Nashville. And because of the trees, you can't see the city, and the Nashville can't see you either. And Trish is up there making quilts, sometimes acts in the local theater. You write songs. Winona Judd had a big hit with one of your songs, Come Some Rainy Day. One of your songs was on a Kenny Rogers album. So what do you learn on that mountain? What have you learned there?
How to live, just how to love life. I mean, I love it. Since I was a little boy, I always wanted to live in the woods and play music. Granted, it wasn't a good career move for any of us because we just like to be together, and I got more and more reclusive, and she got less and less job offers. You know, they don't find you in the woods when your career's been in LA. But we are so deeply in love, and you know, it's something I had never done properly or known in my life. And just the more time we spent together, the more we loved it. And that's been the last 18 years. That's kind of the last chapter of my life. And it's the best one. I mean, we're not rolling in the money or showered with success, but we are both just so happy and content and peaceful. And I feel like I became a better person. It's the good part. I saved the best till last. I mean, that's why when I say that, you know, I have no regrets, and there's a lot worse scenarios than the one I'm in. I mean, I'm just at the end of a beautiful, beautiful life that I really am happy I got to live.
Your songs are the details of life, lines about sitting at a bar, lost in rearranging the change in front of you.
She's in love with me, figure that, likes me just the way I am. In her eyes, I just shine, and all that baggage that I haul don't bother her at all.
I don't know anyone who hasn't engaged in that kind of idle moment.
Yeah, you know, I learned a long time ago, maybe it was just intrinsic, I don't know. I can't fix a car, I can't do a lot of things, but you know, songwriting seemed to fit with me, and I learned a long time ago that there's not one thing, instead of trying to be important, I learned that I didn't have to be, because there's not one thing that I have done that millions of other people haven't done as well. So I learned that if I wrote about myself, I'm actually writing about them at the same time. And I guess that's been, you know, for the people that have heard and relate to my music, I guess that's how they relate, because it's stuff we go through.
Yeah. Pat, are you afraid?
No. And that's a perfectly normal question. If you asked me before the diagnosis, I would have said yes. After the diagnosis, I mean, something, I can't explain it. And I've tried to all my good friends, that because they all have those thoughts too. But the minute I heard it, I just went to a place of peace. It was like, all right. So no, I'm not. And I'm not even thinking of afterlife or, you know, I don't know if there is. Certainly would like to believe that there is, but I don't know. And it doesn't seem to be my concern. My concern really is to keep living. You know what I mean? I like to say that, you know, I'm not dying. I'm living. I'm living every day. And no, I'm not afraid.
Thank you, Pat. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
A song cries out somewhere inside my head, a sound remains. Tells me when each lonely night she's gone. Much more.